Have you ever felt like you've just been under a lot of pressure? Anybody in here, you feel like you've just been under, man, just as, you know, maybe you have a certain day, maybe a certain week, certain month, certain entire life where you just constantly feel under pressure. And, you know, the definition for pressure is it's just pretty just plain and simple. It says the burden of physical or mental stress. So you got this burden. It's enormous. A lot of stress going on. It feels like it's just pushing against you. There's nothing you can do. And there's a lot of reasons in why a lot of us feel under pressure. And the whole entire mission tonight is for you to leave here with some God knowledge, some word knowledge, so that you don't feel under pressure in your life. Amen? Before we get into God's word, I'm going to pray. And then we will start and get rolling. Father God, we thank you for this awesome opportunity to be tonight in your house. And God, we thank you that as we hear your word, that Lord, it resonates in our heart, Father, and that it just begin to change our thinking, that God, it changed everything in us, Father. And I thank you that your word is powerful and full of life. And God, I thank you that the people that are in here, that Lord, if they're feeling under pressure, we're just going to come against that in the name of Jesus. And that Lord, we're going to preach the word of truth. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for leading and guiding us into all truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I read this definition of pressure, I think the key word here is burden. And I think because, you know, pressure, whether it be physical or mental, it finds its way into our life simply because, and this isn't like always the case, but a lot of pressure finds its way into our lives because we're living in the land of other expectations. We're living in the land of other people's expectations. And it drives us crazy, and it can drive us absolutely nuts. Because here's the thing, we don't want to let anybody down. Do you really want to let somebody down? Do you really wake up in the morning and say, I just can't wait until I let the first person down today? I'm looking for it. Hey, can you help me get the keys out of my car? No, never. Then you kick the car and you put a dent in the car and you let them down even more. Or you just, your wife asks you to do something. Mow, can you, it's getting summer. Can you mow the grass? And then you go out there and you just kind of walk around and pray that it shrinks and it doesn't. You go inside, you let her, you know, you don't want to let people down. No one wants to let anybody down. And the only way not to let people down is to meet everyone's expectations. Wow. Let's try that. Let's set out to meet everyone's expectations. The only problem with this is it's absolutely, literally impossible. You cannot meet everybody's expectations. Not only can you not meet everybody's expectations, but you were not designed to meet everybody's expectations. You weren't. And I like this right here. When I wrote this down today, I was like, this is just hot sauce. Many people are expecting something from you that they should be expecting from God. And I like that because a lot of times people are expecting something from us. Comfort, hey, find your comfort in God, my friend. They're expecting some kind of, for us to do a twirl and a dance to fix everything in their life. They're expecting something from us that they need to be expecting from God. And when you expect something from somebody else that you should be expecting from God, that person has just turned in to your God. And you weren't designed. You were not designed to perform for people. And I think a lot of times that's what we're doing. We set out and we perform for people because we don't want to let anybody down. I'm not saying that you just go out and you just try to not meet people's expectations, but I'm saying you're not going to be able to meet everybody's expectations. You weren't designed to perform for people. You were designed to progress the kingdom. And those are two different things. So you have to quit putting yourself under pressure in the people department. Because you can't please people. Some people say, well, you can't please people all the time. Well, you know, really the truth is you can't hardly please people any of the time. I mean, people, they have an expectation of how they want something done. And it's like you got this mind reading ability, and you can read what their expectation is. And they think that you can read their mind. Well, you can't read anybody's mind. So when you do something, it's a little different from the way that they thought you should do it. You just let them down and they let you know. Don't you hate it when people let you know that you let them down? That feels good. That feels awesome. Thank you for making me feel like I am so horrible because I didn't meet your expectations. And we judge ourselves. We judge our a lot of times our Christianity. We judge who we are as people by how many people are pleased with us. Now I'm going to look around and I'm going to say to myself, well, I'm doing pretty good in Christ because there's a lot of people that are liking me and pleased with me. And then all of a sudden, then people start not liking you. You think, well, am I doing something wrong? What's going on in my life? Maybe the devil's trying to attack me. No, the devil's not trying to attack you. You're dealing with people. And people aren't going to like you all the time because they're especially not going to like you if you're not meeting their expectations. This is what I love. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. It's what Paul says. He says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And you know what Paul is saying? You can't please people and God at the same time. Why? Because people will often ask you to do things that God has never called you to do. And you know what you're going to have to get over? Feeling bad. I can't do it. I feel bad. How many times do you hear people saying that? I couldn't. I would feel bad. Now, if you've made a commitment, you need to follow through with that commitment. But most commitments are made because I couldn't do that because I would feel bad. And you put yourself in a predicament where you're under so much pressure because you have committed to so much obligation to do things all the time. And you can't do everything. So you have to get rid of this people-pleasing place. You got to leave this land of expectations. Because as long as you're there, you're going to have all kinds of pressure. And so this kind of sets in to a whole nother regime of things. Like, you can't compare yourselves. I mean, yeah, you can't meet everybody's expectations, but you know what? You can't compare yourself to how other people are. You can't compare your kids to other people's kids. You can't compare your marriage to other people's marriage. You can't compare your job to other people's jobs. You can't compare your bank account to other people's bank account. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to be under so much pressure because you're going to be trying to maintain something and do something that God's never called you to do. Now, another way that pressure finds its way into our lives is when we focus on our lack instead of God's provision. I mean, I'm sure everybody in here could use a couple more bucks. You see what I'm saying? See? I'm sure everybody in here could use a couple more bucks. But you focus on that lack, and it builds this pressure. Because how am I going to get out of this lack? How am I going to get out of this need, this kind of not just internal bankruptcy, but this literal physical bankruptcy? How am I going to get out of this situation? And here's the thing that I have really practiced in my life. Even though you and I are naturally conscious of lack, Jesus is not. Nor has he ever been. Have you ever noticed when you read the Bible, when you read the stories about Christ, even in the midst of lack, Jesus was always conscious of abundance? No one really ever mentions that. I mean, I don't know if you remember the little boy with the five loaves and two fishes. What did Jesus do when those were placed in his hands? I mean, did he freak out? Because I don't know if you know this or not, but there was a lot of pressure. There was 5,000 people standing in front of him, and they're starving. You don't want to mess with starving people. 5,000 of them. And here comes this little boy, and he comes up, Jesus, would you like my 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Well, I mean, I don't know. Probably most of us have been like, get that fish, get those loaves out of my face. Just get it out of my face. How's that going to help me, little one? Can you tell me? Maybe we should chop you up and feed you to them. I took it a little far. But what did Jesus do? He didn't freak out because his eyes were not on the natural. His eyes were not on the visible, and his eyes weren't on the lack. His eyes were on the kingdom of God, where there is always abundance. Now notice this. This is what Jesus wants you to know tonight. He wants you to know that once you recognize that the kingdom of God lives, listen to me, friends, lives on the inside of you, the pressure and burden you feel will begin to dissolve. I don't know if you remember this, Luke 17, 21, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. You focus on lack. Now I know it's real, but so is his abundance. His abundance is more real than your lack. But no, the lack is more real than his abundance. No, that's because you are going by what you see. You need to go by what you know in God's word. And maybe you don't know it. Well, you need to learn it and begin to know it, because I'm telling you this, friends, that when you begin to understand that there is so much abundance in Christ and you begin to lean on that and quit focusing on your lack, you're going to see more stuff come to pass in your life. Because when you are conscious of lack, you're always going to feel under pressure. You know, God doesn't want you to live, doesn't want me to live in the area of how much we earn, what we have in the bank. I'm not saying that God wants you to spend your money foolishly and just go out and live beyond your means, but God wants you to be conscious of the abundance that he provides from his kingdom. Here's the other thing. When you're focusing on lack, it creates so much pressure because you see no way out. But when you focus on abundance, you're not just focusing. See, you're thinking to yourself, when you think of abundance, your mind automatically goes to more. More. So when you think lack and abundance, you think lack's nothing. Abundant is more. But what you need to understand is when you're focusing on the lack, you could never take the steps to abundance, because a lot of times this abundance and the resources of the kingdom is wants to generate ideas in your mind, show you things that maybe you haven't seen or you're too stubborn to see, and he wants to give you these concepts and ideas and notions so that you can begin to live in an abundant place. A lot of people think that, well, I'm in lack, I'm going to believe God for abundance, and I'm just going to stand here and wait for abundance. That's not how it works. No, that'll put you under more pressure. That'll put you under the pressure of stupidity. That's not how it works. This isn't a magic rainbow, my friends. There's no Lucky Charms and Skittles flying around. So this is what happens when I'm focusing on the lack. I can't focus on, as we've talked about, this amazing creative ability that God has put on the inside of me. Now this is the kingdom. The kingdom lives on inside me. Oh, so if the kingdom lives in, do you get that? That the kingdom of God, I'm exciting myself tonight, make myself more hungry. The kingdom of God lives on the inside of you. So if the kingdom of God lives on the inside of me, then all the resources of the kingdom belong to me. I can generate ideas. And when you get to the place where you know that, when you know that, when you walk in that, you'll be a different person. And you'll get to, I'm not putting up with this. I'm going to do street work. Not that kind of street work, but I'm going to get out and I'm going to make things happen. Not because I'm making them things happen, but the kingdom inside me is generating ideas and showing me what I can do. And all this happens simply because I get my eyes off lack. When your eyes are always on wanting more, you'll never get more. That's the robbery of the people like who don't pay their tithe, who don't give, who don't give offerings. They think they're getting more. No, they're getting less. They think they're getting more, but they're not. They're just as broke or more broke at the end of the year than they were at the beginning. I will guarantee you, I will show you anybody that lives a life, a giving lifestyle. At the end, even though they've given a lot, they have more. So quit focusing on your lack. So this is the first two. If you want to get out under pressure, want to get away from pressure, you gotta leave the land of others' expectations. Second thing, you gotta leave the place of focusing on lack. And another way pressure finds its way into our lives is when we go against the grain, when we go against God's word and live outside his zone. This creates a tremendous amount of pressure and burden. I mean, think many of the burdens and pressures that people face today are the direct result of living in opposition to the word of God. Now, I'm going to mention a couple things. Maybe you have, in fact, done some of these things. And the whole point is, we could gather on how this stuff makes your life harder. Doesn't make you less than somebody else. Doesn't make, if you haven't done, doesn't make you better than somebody else. But it does put your life under pressure. So I read God's word. And you know what? A lot of times people look at the Bible as do's and don'ts. And I look at it as peace, no peace. I don't look at it as you can do this and you can't do that. I look at it as that's really going to jack up my life. Think about this. Sex outside of marriage. That's kind of an uncommon, not a very common thing to talk about today because it's kind of like, well, I mean, it's, yeah. You know. That's the Bible. You know, we love God. Hallelujah. Come to church every week. But, you know, it probably, I get this a lot. It probably means something else. But think about this. Sex outside of marriage. The burden. I see so many single moms who, they got mixed up with a guy. He's a deadbeat because he leaves, doesn't take responsibility. Now you got a single mom, then you got finances, and you got kids. There's this tremendous amount of pressure. Now, once you come to know Jesus, you can take that and God can help you and strengthen you, but it causes a tremendous amount of pressure. I mean, let's say not controlling the words that come out of your mouth. The Bible says you need to be slow to speak, quick to hear. So not controlling the words that come out of your mouth, hey, you could lose your job. You could sever a friendship. Lying. Well, I don't know if you've noticed this, but covering yourself from a lie to save face is a lot of pressure. It's hard to remember all that stuff. I have a hard time remembering what is real. Nevertheless, trying to remember what's a lie. And then, you know, people start saying it. Victor, if you notice, they get confused and are like, well, maybe that really did happen. It's kind of like 2 days later, you're like, did I really do that? No, that was a dream. Was that a dream? And then you got to be like, what's going on? Am I taking medication? So lying, gossip. I don't know if I should have told them. What happens if it gets back to them? Was that even true? That really wasn't my place. Oh my gosh. They might call me tonight. I'm going to turn my phone on airplane mode. No one's contacting me. Next time you see them, you're like, do they know? Smile. They don't know. Hey! Sure, there's pressure. And I could go on and on about the enormous pressure disobedience puts you in. I think we all, every single one of us, could tell a story about the tremendous amount of pressure that disobedience put us in. I could tell you stories for days of like, you know what? I mean, you have the Holy Spirit say, don't do it. You're like, oh, what do you know? that's the devil. That's not. And you do it. And then what happens? Like a year later, you're like, I shouldn't have done it. And then you're up telling somebody and you're talking like, you know, God told me not to, but I did it anyway. It's one question I ask myself before I make any decision. And this has come through maturity. But I ask myself this question nearly before I do anything. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is this action worth the pressure it's going to put on my life? Is this purchase worth the pressure it's going to put on my life? Is this word worth the pressure it's going to put on my life? Is what I'm about to do going to jeopardize my peace? This is what I love, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. And I really think it's hard to live in peace and let Christ rule your heart when you're putting yourself under pressure. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this part of the verse that says, rule in your hearts. Because what rules in your heart will ultimately rule in your life. And I am going to be determined to let the peace of God rule in my life. Hey, there's enough pressures as it is, my friends. I think we all know that. In life in general, there's enough pressure as it is. I don't need to put more pressure upon myself, whether through pleasing people, whether it be through focusing on lack, whether it be through just living outside of God's word. I mean, I have enough pressure as it is, and I got to begin to make some decisions and say, you know what? Is this going to affect the way I flow on a daily basis? Don't mess up your flow. The way you operate, the way God designs you. And you know what? If you're waking up every day and you're aggravated, you're going to sleep every night and you're aggravated, something needs to change. Because you're under something and pressure. And you know what God is telling me in this verse? You know what Jesus is speaking? Hey, if your heart is not at peace, you've put stuff on yourself that I never desire to put on you. Now, another way pressure finds its way into our lives is when we fail to recognize our giftings. Let me explain. I've seen people time and time again put themselves under enormous pressure simply because they got involved in something that was outside of their giftings. Let me give you a true story. Oh, 7 years ago, well, maybe eight, I was a youth pastor at the time, went over to one of my teenagers' graduation parties, and I was over there, and they knew, you know, I was a youth pastor, and, they've seen me do things, build things, create things, whatever, and so all of a sudden, the mom says, hey, do you paint? And I said, well, because they've seen that I did a lot of painting in our facility. But I said, well, you know, I mean, not for a living, but I can paint things. You know, really been wanting to get our house repainted. Yeah. Now, you got to understand, at the time, I was about 9 months into marriage. And there was some debt that needed to be paid. And you know, have you ever noticed that when you have debt and you need money, you'll do things. It's, when you're thinking of how to pay off debt, it's not logical. It's not logical. Yeah. Yeah, you want two fingers? How much? $300? Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go ahead. Let's do it. I mean, hang on. Can I pick them? So she looks at me and she says, no, I don't know. I am not a contractor. I don't know what it costs to paint a house. But she's like, you know, it was a nice size house. And she said, you know, we will give you $1,500 if you paint our whole house. But you have to strip off the old paint, you know, and everything. And okay. Yep, I'll do it. I'll do it. Now, I was going on vacation the next week. Not anywhere. At home on vacation. I was just off work. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll do it then. And I got home and I was like, babe, somebody asked me to paint their house. $1,500, $2,000, and I told him I would. Babe, that's what she said. Why would you do that? You work so hard on your week off. You're going to go paint. You can't paint a house. Well, yeah, I can. I can paint a house. Oh, you? What house have you ever painted? I don't know. A couple days went by, and I started, Jonathan, to feel pressure. Now, I'm going to have to get a spray gun. I think that's what they use. And I'm going to have to find what kind of paint. Maybe I can peel. How am I going to peel that paint off that door? So about the fourth day, I was like, oh, man. And it just started eating at me, and I just started just feeling just heavy, like, oh. And eventually, Lisa, she knew what was going on. She goes, you just need to call her back and say you can't do it. You don't paint.
Is Lori there? Yes, this is Pastor John.
Yep. Hey, yeah, I was glad. Yeah, I was glad to be over there. Yeah, I love your kids. They're good kids. I can't paint your house. Oh, that's okay. Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. Take care. Bye-bye. And I just felt so much better. But I tried to do something that was out of my giftings and talents. That's not my gifting and talent. That's like you bring in your car to me and be like, hey, can you fix my engine? And what happens? Compassion usually wants to say, I can do it. Compassion usually says, oh, I can do it. I can fix your engine. I've never worked on an engine. My point is, it puts a lot of pressure on you. Don't know if you know this, but when you don't know how to do something, it makes you freak out. And that's why it's important to know the giftings that God has put on the inside of you and begin to give everything to those giftings and begin to develop them. I've seen so many people get into so many things and be like, I'm just going to do it. They see money or they see this or they see that. But you know what? There's one question that goes above every other question. Can I do it? Am I capable of doing this? Don't make yourself do something that you're never going to be able to do because you're going to feel like a loser every day. And I know I use this analogy all the time, but I'm going to have to say it one more time. We have a basketball goal out back. And me and Victor were playing the other day, and I go, hey, Victor, what would you do if you never knew this, but I just dunked the basketball all of a sudden? What would you do? I'd probably just fall over. Just be like, that's amazing. Yeah. Now I can never dunk that basketball. I'm going to go out there every day for the next 2 years. And I'm going to do squats. Just squats, calf exercises. Boom. Put Jonathan on my shoulders. Let's do it. Let's build these calves. Build these calves. Build these calves. 2 years later, I can't. I'm not going to be able to. I'm going to be frustrated. And I use this analogy to you. Why don't you do something? Now I can golf. Yeah, I played golf in high school, and I played golf when it wasn't cool. Golf, some of you are like, what still isn't cool? Well, anyway, I played golf, so I'm good at golf. So, you know, focus on what you're good at. I don't know why everybody wants to focus on what they're not good at, because the time you would spend focusing on what you're not good at, you get average, but you're way past average at what you're gifted in. So move in that. So I just ask you tonight, as we close, and I just want you to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, are you putting yourself under pressure by doing some stuff? Whether it be trying to meet everyone's expectations. You know what? This is something I've learned. People are going to be okay if they don't get their way. They're going to be just fine. Okay? If you let somebody down, they're not going to die. Are you focused on your lack instead of God's abundance? Are you living outside of God's word? Are you doing something that is outside of your giftings? Because you need to stop it and begin to let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You know, something I want to do before I close. I got a message my Facebook. And I'm just going to read you the message. So it can kind of explain everything to you. It says, hey, so I have a question to ask you. My friend's son, who is 4 years old, his name is Trey, was admitted to Children's Mercy downtown Sunday, April 7th, for a tumor the size of a golf ball on his brain. And they did surgery, and they removed the tumor April the 9th. Since that surgery took place, he hasn't woke up. It's been almost 2 weeks since his surgery. The doctor came in today and told my friend that he's not sure when he'll wake up, but if he does, he'll be mute. And even with speech therapy, it'll probably only be 50% helpful. That is, if he'll ever talk again. He was also told he'd have to have physical therapy to relearn how to walk as well. So my question to you is, can you possibly sum up Trey's story and say a special prayer at the end of service on Wednesday and Sunday and ask everyone at Nexus to please pray for Trey? And I believe in a healing God. Amen. And I didn't really mention this to her, but hope she's fine with it. But Andrea, can you come up here and pray tonight for Trey? And the reason I want Andrea to come up, I believe that if you don't know Andrea's story, their son had cancer and God healed him miraculously. And I just want all of us to be in agreement tonight as Andrea prays. And believing for Trey to wake up, for healing to take place in his body. Amen. Can we all join together and do that? Can we stand to our feet and pray tonight? Amen.
Jesus, we just come before you right now, Father. And Lord, we come boldly to the throne room, Jesus. We come without reservation, knowing that this healing has already been done, Father. And Jesus, right now, I just pray. I pray for a peace that surpasses all understanding for this family right now. And I pray that until the day that Trey wakes up, until the moment that Trey wakes up, that they just have a peace that envelops them beyond all understanding. I pray right now that your spirit falls heavy upon them, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for that moment when Trey will wake up. Because he will, Father. You've already paid the price with your blood, Jesus. And we thank you in advance right now that when he wakes up, Jesus, he will have full restoration within his body, Lord. That there will be no leftovers, there will be no side effects, that he will walk in the fullness of your grace every day of his life, and that the calling that you put forth when he was in the womb of his mother, when you knit him together, Jesus, that that calling will come into fruition in his life, Jesus, and that he will touch lives. He will have all the things that you have put inside of him come forth within him. There will be no lack. There will be no handicap. There will be Jesus, nothing besides what you have planned for him. And Lord, right now, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you right now because it's already done. I want to thank you that peace will keep that family from falling into the land of why. And why did this happen? Why did this happen? We don't know why this happened, but we do know that you are a healing God and that your healing has been purchased and that your healing will come forth and that the moment is near when Trey is going to awake. He's going to wake from this slumber and he is going to wake up into the fullness of your grace. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.